Blog Talk Radio.
First night, all I think about is you. Don't stop, baby, you can walk too. Don't want, baby, think about you. You know that I'm never gonna
podcast of the law firm of Michael and Michael, coming at you.
Coming at you.
You there, my man?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather I just bring shit up on air, or do you want me to give you, like, a heads up of the general subject matter, like, before the show?
You know what's really funny that you mentioned this, because, like, I was talking to my wife, like, 20 minutes ago. We were just, like, having lunch,
right.
And I'm like, all right, after lunch, I'm going to go do the show. And she's like, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, I have no idea. And I'm like, we should probably have some sort of, like...
You what? And you should?
Shot. We should probably have some sort of, like, show shot or, like, some kind of...
I can't hear
like,
you.
You can't hear me? Hello?
You're breaking up. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I'm having a hard time hearing you. That pretty much everything you just said after you didn't know what we were going to talk about.
Well, yeah, that's basically it. So I always think, like, maybe we should have some sort of, like, you know, pre-show, like, show chart or list or some kind of topic list or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. As far as the connection goes, the weather here is very shitty, which I'm sure it is by you too. So it's kind of crazy.
It's
right
actually
now.
Not
so
bad here. It's not bad. It's just windy.
We're all gonna say, well, it's windy as fuck here, and like it was like 40 degrees like an hour ago, and then like by 2 o'clock it's gonna be like 22.
It must have been pretty windy here because my the soffit from the back porch is just like hanging off.
Really?
Yeah. So it must have been really windy here. No, but that's not, you know, I every once in a while I will not really know what the hell I want to talk about either until the show comes on.
Right.
But I do have most of the times I do have a general idea, at least a few days in advance. So I have no problem. I have no problem just saying, hey, this is what I want to talk about this week. And also, I think
I also need to probably contribute because, I was thinking about that. And I'm like, I have no idea what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you are technically one of the hosts.
Technically,
yeah. But I only say that because I don't think you've ever done the switchboard for a show, have you?
I have not.
No, I don't think so. I thought there may be a couple of times I couldn't do it.
I might have done it like once. I don't remember. But I mean, if it was, we're talking about like 10 years ago. So, yeah, I probably did it like
Like
10 years ago.
Yeah, I think maybe that's true too. But it's very intuitive. It's very simple. I've set it up so that it's very, very simple to do. But whatchamacallit? I was thinking about that too because really the only time I'd ever need anybody to do that is if I was in a place where I couldn't use my laptop, which is rare, but it does happen.
Right.
And I would like somebody else to be able to do it. I mean, granted, this isn't a professional production. There's only two of us. We're doing it over the phone.
Yeah.
You know,
but it
so this there's only so far.
I got you.
It would, but again, it's not really a requirement. Like my biggest thing is just trying to get somebody that's willing to talk during these times, you know, both hourly wise. Like, there's not a lot of people that I know can do this at 1 p.m. on a Friday. Like, there's not a lot,
sure.
And I do have pretty much open availability, but you're also somebody that I know and love and is hysterically funny. So that's why you're here. And that's all I really expect from you.
Yeah.
You know, like it's right now it's a casual thing. Once I start getting into editing and we can start putting the episodes up, then it's going to be, you know, a little more time consuming,
right.
But like as of right now,
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
As of right now, it doesn't really matter that much. But I would appreciate if there's anything that you – like if something comes up during the week that you're like, I need to talk about this, even if it's like complaining about your fucking waiver wires or something like that, just send me a text. Just send me a text. I know waiver wires are fucking stupid. I know that. I watched the league. I learned what they were.
Yes, I will definitely do more to carry some weight on here for sure.
You don't have to. Don't look at it as carrying weight. I want you to be able to talk about things that you want to talk about. That's the bottom line for me. I want you to feel like you're contributing to the show.
Right. I'm with you.
Got it. I will give you a heads up on some of the things that I might address. And the fact is also that when the day of the show hits, sometimes things happen. Like I just discovered today that the January 6th commission just published its like final report.
Oh, see, I hadn't even seen that yet.
Yeah, but it's from what I understand, like the narrative is basically that Trump incited the January 6th riots. That's basically their conclusion. But what does that mean from there?
And we have like touched on obviously before the results came out, but we have had this conversation, and I know I have definitely expressed that I think it's super weird that there are all these investigations going on as to his role and you know, the big lie in general and this and that. And we're still just going to let him try to be president again in 2 years. Like, it's just so weird to me that there's seemingly no consequences for any of this stuff.
I mean, it's disheartening just because I feel like there's been a lot of effort by very, very small amount of in our history to try to put checks and balances in place so that presidents and politicians in general don't do the things that Donald Trump has.
Right.
And not only has he done them, but he's admitted to them, and we have all the evidence we need to put this person. Okay. So the emoluments clause, he failed that. He was supposed to divest all of his business interests before he became president. That's what the emoluments clause is. As far as I know, I need to read it again most likely, but emoluments clause is supposed to be limiting presidents and politicians in general from receiving foreign money while they're in U.S. office. That's the whole fucking purpose of it, as far as I know. Now, Trump didn't do that. Trump did not do that. And that
and they just let
is
him
illegal.
Run president anyway.
that alone, right, that alone should have been enough to put him away.
Yeah.
Because that's illegal.
Right.
Just that one thing.
Yep. I know. It's fucking wild, dude. So, like, between that – so, yeah, you're supposed to divest from all your financial stuff, which
– right.
Never happened, and they just basically
foreign
said, oh,
interests never mind. Specifically, yeah,
right. But and then you add on top of that, okay, once he became president, like look at the net worth and the amount of money that the Trump family made because he was president. Like, what did Ivanka and Kushner make? Like $41 million a year or some shit, and we just sit there and we're like, oh well, whatevs, like. It makes no sense to me. It's insane.
Bizarre, and it's surreal. And I think what I just don't get is, like, and what's been bothering me about this whole thing is these checks and balances that we've put in place, they're not good for anything if they're not enforced. And the only people that are going to enforce them are the people that are already in power.
Yep.
And most of those people, like, it's bizarre how these things can just happen in front of us. And I cannot imagine what would have happened to Barack Obama if he had any of the scandals that Donald Trump has had.
Yeah, and for real.
If a Barack Obama, bro, was banging, was paying a porn star to bang them while his wife was fucking pregnant, bro.
Right.
Could you imagine?
Even outside of that, would Barack be, would he have ever been president? Or even, you know, gotten the nomination from the party if he had five kids with three different women and had cheated on all of his previous houses. That would have never...
No. I don't think so.
And with Trump, everything is just... I mean, he really is like Teflon Don. Like, everything... Like, all these laws and rules and supposed, you know... societal norms as it relates to, you know, holding office or doing this and that. He just doesn't abide by them, and then there's no consequences. Like, nothing happens.
Yeah. I mean, well, like, one of the – that's – I just remembered what I wanted to say before. One of the things that did happen that is kind of a positive, even though it comes from the worst – like his kids were convicted – of stealing money from their own foundation, their charity,
mm-hmm.
in Egypt.
Yep.
They were just convicted of this. And now they're banned from having any charity. So this is something that actually happened that shows what awful people they are. And no, why is nobody talking about that? Why is that not national? Why is it not being prodded?
Right. I just want to know what the – I know you said they're not going to be allowed to have, you know, charitable things. But listen, for them, charity is a PR stunt and a tax write-off to begin with. Like,
oh,
they're not doing
absolutely.
Anything.
No. There's no such thing as a Trump charity. No, you're absolutely correct.
Right. So them – you know, being banned from running charitable organizations, I mean, that's no skin off their nose at all. So,
no,
like, what is
me.
The actual punishment for any of these crimes?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that. It's like that, as much as it shows, like, I do think everybody needs to see that, though. Like, I do think they need to broadcast that to... Or maybe they don't, because if the hardcore Trumpers, I think at this point, don't care at all about truth.
Right.
At all.
Yeah, they don't.
Like, I don't think there's any way to reach these people, because they've literally given up thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They've decided that thinking about things and maybe seeing the other side of it is far too much attention that they're willing to give. It's too much energy for some reason that they don't want to devote any time to.
Right.
People devote their time to. It sounds like it's like church and shooting and church and guns, I guess. What else is there?
But even the church part of that equation is disingenuous in most instances, because, yeah, they want to talk about church and Jesus and this and that, but, like, the way they live their lives is the most selfish way imaginable.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean to say that I don't mean to say that when I say church – it doesn't necessarily mean that people are acting the way Christ does. You know what I mean? That's a whole another fucking argument, because it's been very clear to me, especially growing up Catholic, and then also I always thought Catholicism was super extreme, because I would sit in church and I would listen to this priest, and I'm talking about when I'm like 7 years old. I would listen to this priest, like, talking shit about abortion and gay marriage and shit like that. And I always thought to myself, even at that age, I'm like, who cares? At that age, I was like, why are you telling me these things? Like, this is for me when I'm older, number one. Number two, God kind of sounds like a dickhead if he's pissed about this kind of shit. No, really.
Right.
Like, when I was like a young kid, we had a gay neighbor who lived across the street. That was like, gay was just a person to me my whole life. That was not, you know, even as a kid, well, he likes guys. I was like, okay, that guy likes guys. Like, it doesn't hurt
you.
Like,
who cares? Right.
Yeah, it's just people. So when I hear all this crazy shit and whatever, I'm like, how can you be this way? Wait, I just lost the thread of that conversation.
Well, we were just talking about how their church going ways.
Oh, yeah. So me being in church as a kid, and I always thought to myself, like, this is really aggressive. You know, I thought church was supposed to be like this joyful occasion or whatever, and, you know, Jesus' teaching seemed like, you know, love everybody, which is how my family always was.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, that's what I thought. I always thought Catholicism was awful for having those things and saying them in front of kids and whatnot. But the born-again Christians, like, these people take it to a fucking level that they take it to zealotry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
They take it all the way to zealotry, and I don't fucking like zealotry. It makes me very uncomfortable in any form. You know, for example, like if I'm sit here and we say we both like a particular Star Wars movie, right? If one of us is just like fucking like going ham on it and just like telling you every fucking minute detail and shit like that to the point where it's like you feel like they're going to blow a load in their pants. Like that's zealotry in any form to me.
Right.
It just doesn't sit right.
Yeah.
Your
fandom or whatever should not be like a competition.
Right. It shouldn't be a competition, but like these born again, when I started encountering like born again Christians, I kept thinking to myself, like, how is Catholicism better? Why is Catholicism like better than this? How is the awful guilt ridden Catholicism? How is this shit beyond that?
Yeah.
To the point where like, there's no links to what these people are saying to the Bible at all. Like at all.
Definitely not.
No. And I've read the Bible a few times because it's fucking interesting. Like the stories, I like some of the stories, you know, but it's also funny to see just how much people completely misinterpret it, I think.
Right. And I'm not a Bible connoisseur by any means. I don't think I've looked at a Bible since I was like 12.
I wouldn't say I'm a connoisseur. Yeah.
But when you say the misinterpretation, like, I wonder how much of that is intentional and how much is, like, legitimate misinterpretation.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think a lot of it is intentional, and like, I'm not saying that by nature they're just terrible people, but I do think that there is a lot of, you know, selfishness and basically like a fear of anything that's not in like this like homogenous box.
Right. But you also have to account for the hypocrisy of those people, because all of those behaviors and stuff that they condemn and vilify are all things that they do on a regular basis.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, like it's I forget what the expression is, but it's like, it's something like rules for thee, but not for me or something. It's something along those lines.
Yep. Right.
I've always thought that's a shitty way to govern people. And like, for example, when I've been a supervisor or a manager at any place, like I am going to be in the grime with you. I'm going to do that. You know, I have no problem like cleaning grease traps at Starbucks, even when I'm the manager. You know, like
right.
I don't believe in that expression. I don't believe in I should be able to act a different way from what I want you to act. I don't believe that.
Right.
But that is how we are governed. Maybe the whole world is governed that way, but I know America is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of do as I say, not as I do kind of.
Yeah. And the last person that I could really look at and say, okay, this I want to act like this person because they are acting in a manner that is what this country should be. And that was Obama. I thought his representation of this country was absolutely fucking fantastic.
Right.
I thought on the world stage, I thought we have not had a better diplomat in a very long time. I believe that still to this day.
Yes, I would agree with that.
That he was in my lifetime, I think he was probably the best statesman that I've seen. And maybe it's just because I'm old enough to appreciate that
mm-hmm.
now. I don't think the image we want to portray to the world should be, for example, George W. Bush, who was basically just like a goofy redneck.
Right.
He was definitely not the brains of that operation in any way, shape, or form.
Definitely not.
His job was basically to be like the face of the movement, but in my opinion, that didn't work too well either, because he was a fucking goofball. I mean, the guy is like,
yeah,
he's still stuck in that like college party haze perpetually.
Yep.
But that,
you know,
there's like a certain privilege when it comes to these people. Like, yeah, like what qualified him to end up where he was? It's because of who his dad was and what he was born into, which
right.
is another, you know, problem just in general. And, you know, that's not just a Republican issue either. We see it with Democrats all the time, when it's just that these people get elected to these positions and invited to these lifestyles, and it's like, you know, we don't have the best of the best. Like, I feel like there's no meritocracy. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, if you happen to be born into a situation, you have like a 80% chance of being more successful than everybody else. And I mean, I don't think there's any way to like fix that. But at the same time,
yeah,
like,
sure there is.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they're basically preaching it to us as if,
no,
you
there's
know,
a way to
in
fix
America,
that.
You can do
there's
anything
a way to fix
you
that.
Want, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and it's not necessarily that way.
There is a way to fix that. What you do is you take these children when they're about 3 years old, and you give them to a poor family. That's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you fix it. There's no other way. Just kidnapping kids, just kidnapping rich kids and dumping them in a poorhouse. That's what we got to do. That's the only way.
You might be right. You might be right.
I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, legally that's not, not going to work. But think about, like, practically, think about it. Like, so we take these rich kids and we give them to let's say maybe not a destitute family, but a semi-poor family, for example, or
mm-hmm.
a struggling family, for example.
Right.
And, you know, obviously this is going to hurt them too, but they raise
yeah.
the kid. And let's say when the kid gets to a certain age, like maybe like 30, they give the kid his inheritance. And I don't know if that's something that, like, if we did that as a people, obviously, would that result in any more rich kids being better at connecting or treating, you know, poor people?
I think it probably would,
it give
would
them,
on some
levels, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But, I mean, it could have the opposite effect, too, where they're just like, you know, why did I have to live all that bullshit? Now I'm free. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's one broad brush that we can say, okay, this is definitely going to
yeah,
work
like
for everybody.
What I'm saying is, I wonder how effective that would be, like, practically, you know?
I mean, honestly, I think it would be, from the standpoint that it feels like to me, like, I do think a lot of the divisiveness and, like, fear just comes from a lack of knowledge and understanding. I mean, like, what was there was a story a few weeks ago that came out, and I don't even remember the details, so I'm gonna fuck this up. But, like, this guy was basically gonna, like shoot up a mosque or, like, target, you know, Muslims or something. I don't remember the exact
right.
details. And
okay.
then, like, he ended up, like, encountering a Muslim family, and, like, they took him in, and after, like, a couple of days, he was like, oh, my God, these people are great. And I think there is something to be said for, like, just experiencing other cultures and experiencing other types of people. Like, I think a lot of the hate is centered around, like, you know, if somebody's like, oh, I hate, you know, gay people and this and that, and people shooting up, you know, gay clubs and stupid shit like that.
Right.
And I think a lot of that is them either A, dealing with their own personal issues, or B, just the lack of spending time with people. Because I think for the most part, if you spend time with these people, you'd be like, all right, they're not so bad. Like, they're pretty harmless, whatever. And I just think if you're really found in your own bubble of, like, everybody looks like
they're unable to walk any distance in anyone else's shoes. That's
right.
And the thing is, like, what you're also talking about is people with enough self-awareness to maybe realize at some point that's what it is. I don't know.
Yep.
I think you're right, though. I think everybody has the right lever somewhere to help them see. I've heard stories of, you know, there's like one Republican senator whose son or daughter came out, and after that happened, like, they realized that they could no longer be anti-gay or sign any of the gay limiting bills type things or whatever,
right?
Because they realized, this is my people, you know, your own child is a person like that. And if you don't hate your child, you can't sustain those beliefs. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard stories like that. I've heard, I've heard a lot of stories of people having to have walked a mile or just a couple of feet in someone else's shoes and saying, oh my God, you know, what have I done? But I think those are the real minority. Those stories are very few and far between, because I think most people see, they're incapable of seeing anything different from them as human and right. And they're so stubborn that it's only going to take something like that, some big grant, because that's a really dramatic turnaround. You know what I mean? Like, it took basically a dramatic event for those people to realize that they were not right.
Yep.
And I don't think we have time to show every American. We don't have time to put every American in the scenario like that, you know? How do we do that on a mass scale?
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's basically impossible, but yeah. So I don't know. What the answer is.
Yeah. I don't know how to... we do know how to make people not ignorant. We know how to do that. In order to do that, we have to stage some big elaborate fucking act where their life gets saved by a gay person or a black person or you know, a Muslim or something.
We're going to round up every, like, gay person and send them, ship them off to, like, a Bible something.
Just every marginalized type of person. We'll get some trans people. We'll get
gays and
lesbians
and
black folk
and
Asians and Indians, whoever, you know, Native Americans.
Right.
You get everybody. We'll round up the minority.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Don't worry. This is for a good purpose.
Yeah. Attention, black people. All congregate in this one place at the same time. But trust the two of us. It's not going to be what you think.
It's good. We'll explain it to you. I promise.
Yeah. Well, but that goes along with the kind of thing. Like I've definitely seen enough, you know, black people say this, and I'm sure other marginalized groups say this as well, when they say, and they're right, when they say, it's not our job to make you feel more comfortable with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
I think that's
part
of the problem, too, is like, Yeah, we totally would. Like, we should, but yeah, it's not their job to fucking justify their own existence.
Their job, obviously, no.
Right.
It's not their job at all. It's really not. But I know there are some folks who do feel like there are some black folks out there who do feel like they can help the white man be less ignorant. There are some folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and
most people are better than me.
I personally, as a white person, don't have any patience for other white people who are even a little bit racist. I don't have any patience for them at all.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not in me, bro. Like, where we grew up, like, it's very easy to get into hating black folk if they're jumping you every weekend or whatever.
Right.
Which is kind of what happened to me. It's easy to do that. It's very easy to do that. Or if you're a thinking individual, you could realize that there are some deep-seated issues as to why some of that shit might be happening.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it's not like the worst thing I think people can do is associate black folk with crime, because if you look at the all-white areas, the low-income all-white areas, it's the same story.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's so crazy how, like, it's so obviously an economic breakdown, and yet somehow
it
gets portrayed as a racial breakdown. Yeah, for sure.
But that narrative serves the purpose of capitalism. Like, that's why racism is so important to capitalism, because in order for capitalism to work, there must be an exploited lower class.
Mm-hmm.
There must be.
Right.
That is how the system works.
Yeah.
And it may be the best system, quote unquote, thus far, because it keeps, I guess, a general even level across the country. You know what I mean? Like, it's true that America is safer than places like Afghanistan, for example.
Yeah,
it's more built.
Right.
There's more attention to places.
Yeah.
You know, we're more aware of our surroundings, our entire surroundings here. So we have a leg up in that regard, but we don't. Fuck, I forgot where I was going again. Where were we going with this?
We're just talking about the economic, the class.
Oh yeah, the class. So
in order for
there to always be an exploitable lower class, racism is a really neat tool for that.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is just turn your back on people, and you guarantee a class that you can exploit.
Right.
It works like a charm.
Sadly, it does indeed.
Yeah. It does. It's all a class thing. That's what I've been trying to tell people. I'm sure you said that to people too. It's a fucking class thing. Because down in the Bronx, like in places where everybody's poor, like it's like white people, Latino people, fucking black people, Jamaican people, like everybody is in one place, and for the most part, nobody really gives a
shit. I was saying, for the most part, people in those scenarios get along. Yeah, I mean, obviously you're gonna have some strife and, you know, random issues here and there, but for the most part, it's a pretty united kind of system.
Yeah, it's a very diverse system.
Yep.
It really is. And if you go down to all five boroughs of the city, you're going to find a lot of different people. Like, Brooklyn's got all the Hasidics down there. You know, there's Little Russia, there's Little Italy, there's like almost everything is represented down in the city, in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, Sudanese neighborhoods, fucking German people, just mad heads everywhere.
Yep.
All different kinds of heads everywhere. Like, that's why it just, I keep struggling with what I feel like, is it a privilege? Were we privileged to have this many different people like introduced to us early in our lives?
I don't know. Like, see, it's weird because I don't know how to classify that, because I definitely think on some level it's beneficial, but I also think
is it a privilege?
Yeah, I think so, but I also think it could be detrimental if you don't have the right people around you, like meaning, like, if we saw different groups of people at school or walking down the
right.
street, or finally say at school, like, you know, we're driving through Westchester with our families and we're like, you know, 8 years old, right? And we're in the car with our parents and we see, you know, a bunch of Muslims, let's say, walking up down the street. If your mother says to you, what are these, you know, and says like a racial slur or something, like when she says something like,
what are these cowheads doing
in my neighborhood?
Oh, yeah.
Then you have, like, in your like developing brain, you're like, oh shit, what's wrong with these people? Like you're going to have a negative connotation towards them. Whereas if she says, oh my God, you know, they remind me of the family I grew up with. They were the best people. So I think having access to different groups is a privilege, but I also think it's highly dependent, at least at a younger age, on, you know, your upbringing and your family's beliefs and stuff like that. Like, I think once you get older, then obviously it's definitely more beneficial, because then you can kind of judge for yourself, okay, these people are just normal people. But I do think it's a privilege to have, in general, the ability to be around diverse groups of people, especially when you're older.
Yeah, I don't like when I think. I mean, it's hard to process like exactly how you can fit, because I do believe that everybody should have a good percentage of our experience, yours and mine, with different
creeds
and race. I do believe that everyone should be exposed to different cultures and, yes, even sexualities, because it's not a – when you're a kid, like if you tell somebody, oh, that guy likes boys, like you don't think it's a sex thing, and you don't have to.
Right. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. You don't, sex is not on your radar yet.
Right.
And when you get older and you learn about sex, it's already that's already there. You're like, okay,
yeah,
like, so that guy likes to do that. That's how they get along. That's what they do. Gay guys like to fuck too. Okay, you know, it's silly. It's absolutely silly to me. And I don't think that the world would be hurt by everybody having that kind of diversity around them. And I think it can make you appreciate things more, even your own culture.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think you can appreciate, like, you know, I grew up basically Italian, like my mom, half Italian, you know, all of the people that were around us, all the family around us, Italian, we ate Italian cooking. You know, we ate dinner at 2 o'clock on Sundays sometimes, 'cause that's fucking what Italian people do, you know? And even though I'm mostly Irish, you know, but I've encountered so many other great cultures having been, hell, even living up here in Connecticut, I was the guy who owned the house, who was also my roommate, was a Sikh guy. And, you know, I learned all about their rituals and, like, you know, how they grow their hair super long, like they don't cut their hair, and they wrap it like all up in this super complicated turban, dope. And they also have a religious dagger that they carry on them. That's it's like it's like against their principles to draw that dagger ever, which is why they keep it on them. It's like a religious, because Sikhs used to be warriors. They used to be like really badass warriors. And now they're committed to peace and basically partying. They have some fucking crazy parties, bro. Like days long, super colorful, like food filled festivals. It's fucking awesome. Sikhs are really interesting people. They're super interesting folks. And I got to be like right in the middle of that. And I had like me and Betty were, she came back up from Florida to visit. And his family cooked us like a home cooked Indian meal, which if you've ever had Indian food, it's fucking nothing compared to like a home cooked fresh. It's nothing. It's just not the same thing. It's a different fucking beast. And if you like Indian food, like this woman made us, it was so cool and strange too, because like what happened is, so she makes the food and then she's also making naan, which I don't know if you know, how much do you know about Indian food?
Not a whole lot. I'm not a huge fan.
Not a whole lot.
But
not a huge fan. Oh, it's too bad. But they make this bread called naan. And so we're sitting outside and it's basically like you have to take the bread and like scoop up whatever it is that you want out of the bowl. It's not like fork and knife shit. You know, you're eating with the bread.
Yep.
And so there's like a few different dishes that you can dip the bread into and eat. And she's just making bread the whole time. Like the whole time we're eating, the mom is just making bread on the stovetop over and over and over again until we're done eating. Then she's allowed to come out and eat.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
So, like, she's – and, you know, I guess that's just their culture. She doesn't want it any other way. Because I asked privately, I was like, is that, like, so why is the woman not allowed to, like, sit down and eat with the family? Why does she have to keep doing that? And he was like, it's tradition, but, like, she wants to do that. Like, she's set in it. She's decided that that's – there's no other way. Like, she's made that choice that that's the way it's going to work. Maybe she, and maybe at this point she likes eating alone. Maybe she prefers not to have people fucking with her, since she just put all that work. She gets to have a nice, quiet meal to herself.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing. Like, but all of this shit that I'm talking about, I got to experience this stuff because I live here.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And everybody can't obviously live in New York.
Right.
So how do we reach these super ignorant people with stuff like that without having to stage an elaborate fucking, you know, show? Which, honestly, I would love
migration.
To do.
Oh, I know. Seriously.
I would absolutely love to find a legal way to kidnap somebody.
Right.
And force them into a life completely unlike what they've ever done. And I'm not talking about sex slavery. We're not. That's let me be clear.
No.
I'm not talking about selling people into sex slavery.
No, or any other kind of slavery. Yeah.
Or any other kind of slavery. I just want them to live with a like put them in fucking the Congo or some shit. You know, go live with a family
right.
in the Congo, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I should, maybe that's something I can do on a YouTube channel. I can have somebody consent to be kidnapped. They sign a release form saying that we can kidnap them and them into a situation for an indefinite amount of time.
I'm sure that'll go over very well.
You know what I think would be a really good idea is if we talk to the families we're going to dump them on first. That might be a good
idea. Yeah, totally.
But I'm also a little fond of the idea of just like showing up to some random person's house and being like, here. It's a human for you.
Here, you're going to spend a month with these people, and yeah.
They didn't know it was happening either. So you guys are going to be in this together. You know what I
right,
mean?
Right. Yeah. We as the organizers of this can be the common enemy. Like you guys, like there's no party. Neither party is going to want to partake in this experiment. So they can bond over us being the assholes that forced them into this situation.
Bro.
So they can have a common ground based off of that.
Honestly, finding a common enemy is one of the best and easiest ways to get people together.
No doubt.
It really is.
We will take that bullet as the organizers
Absolutely.
Of this intervention of sorts, and we will gladly be the bad guys. Because it's for a greater good.
Right out of the American politics playbook right there.
Yeah,
finding a common enemy. I mean, I shouldn't say that because other countries have done it way before.
That's
how you get people together. Is you give them like a common, whether it's Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi. I remember when Gaddafi was the big bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was like in the 80s and shit. Oh, and there was, who is the Panamanian guy?
Noriega,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
He was another one of the big bad guys. I could be wrong, but I feel like with all of these particular guys that America has demonized and villainized, even if they may have deserved it, I feel like all of those guys were once buddies with America.
Well, I'm sure they are.
I feel like look at
Saddam Hussein.
That's what I'm saying. Look at Osama bin Laden. He was trained
right.
by the CIA.
Right.
He was
literally
trained by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's facts. Like, that's...
I know.
That's something you can find, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. I feel like they all...
Yeah,
I know
definitely.
Saddam Hussein definitely was. You know,
right.
there's that picture of him shaking hands with Rumsfeld. That's always... That's a great piece of history.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Shit's getting ripped off my house out here, bro.
Oh, God.
I just heard some siding come off. The fuck?
I know. I got to throw out the garbage. I'm trying to, like, figure out when I'm going out there.
You want to do that now?
No, I'll wait till we're done.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there were a couple other things I wanted to get to. One of them is just a brief mention of what Elon is up to these days.
our weekly Twitter update.
Yeah, weekly Twitter update about Twitter. So he created a poll asking if he
uh-huh.
could step down as Twitter CEO.
Yes.
Which, it wasn't a blowout, but was overwhelmingly...
But he lost.
But, yeah, it was overwhelmingly get the fuck out, basically.
Right.
And so he puts his poll, and of course that everybody... I was actually surprised that the number of Elon bots and you know, dick riders, Elon dick riders, did not overwhelm the poll, because it was like 53% get the fuck out.
Right.
And he said he would abide by it. Of course, he said, I have to wait until someone is suitable to replace me.
Right.
Now, I don't think that's a stalling tactic necessarily. It's probably good business to find the right person for the job. It may be the
right.
soundest business decision he has made so far in regards to Twitter.
probably.
But it also tells me that he realizes that he's in over his head. To some degree.
See, you have more faith than I do, because I still think that that he's not going anywhere. Because then I saw after this poll, then all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, he was just putting this poll out there to catch bots and this and that. And it's like, dude, like, just be transparent. Like, if he has buyer's remorse or whatever the case may be, I would actually appreciate that more than this just, like, brazen, like, whatever the hell he thinks he's doing and, you know, his free speech nonsense when he's, you know, blocking reporters left and right. Like, if he actually does intend to find a new CEO, even if it's just for the sake of, like, oh, shit, Tesla's stock is dropping, you know, 30% in the last 3 months because they don't want to deal with my bullshit. Even if that's the reason, even if it's financially motivated, yeah, I'll take that at this point because, like, we're just spiraling down this, like, social media hellhole of, like, I don't even know what we're headed for 6 months from now if this keeps going the way it's going.
I think it's interesting. What was I doing? He doesn't – I don't think he has any long-term plans for Twitter. I don't think he ever did. I think it's something that he stepped into unwillingly because he flirted with it and then tried to do it and then backed out, and he was literally forced to do it. So I do believe that person is still inside him that wants out. I do believe that. But he's also crazy arrogant, and he just doesn't fundamentally understand why people don't like him because he does whatever he wants. Like, he's got these three thoughts in his head that are conflicting. Like, he does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and doesn't see that as an inconvenience. In fact, I think he thinks that's, like, a cool thing about him, is that he does whatever he wants. And nobody, like, the overwhelming majority of people don't like that, because whatever he wants usually fucking sucks, bro. It sucks for everyone.
It's certainly not serving the majority of his customers or fanboys.
Well, I watched a guy say, like, there's a very good reason why Tesla stock is going down, and it's because what he has done. Like, who do you think, Elon, who do you think buys fucking Teslas? Who buys Teslas?
Yeah.
Pretentious, stuffy fucking liberals.
Exactly.
Buys Teslas, you moron, you absolute dipshit motherfucker. You align yourself with this far-right nonsense. He goes, my pronouns are prosecute Fauci. Fuck you, bro. What a stupid dumb joke, bro.
If he was one of the, you know, core members of like the Chevrolet team or the Ford team, then yeah, you're going in the right direction. But yeah, the people that he's alienating are his customers, his own customers, by and large.
Dude, my pronouns are prosecute/Fauci is what this fucking idiot tweets. He must have been trying to piss off literally like as many people as possible with as few words as possible. It was the dumbest fucking thing, bro. Let's piss off trans people. Let's piss off liberals. Let's piss off fucking everybody, you know? Yeah. And those are the fucking people buying your dumb fucking cars that fall apart and explode. You cunt. You absolute idiot. Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
How does a guy with that much money make such dumb fucking decisions, bro?
I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if he's just trying to be a troll at this point, because I don't understand, again, even if it was just a front or a show for, like, financial reasons, like, you're taking money out of your own pocket by pissing off your customers.
Yeah.
I just But, like, it speaks to, like, what we've talked about before is he has, like, a ridiculously low amount of self-awareness. And I assume, based on his behavior the last couple of months, that that extends to his customer base. Because how do you not
right.
know who your customers are?
He doesn't. I really feel like this guy is just completely out of touch with nearly everything. And it mm-hmm. turns out he's so in the clouds that he's not even in touch with, like, the middle to upper class folks that love his products and shit. I mean, this
right.
guy years ago was like Mr. Green Energy fucking goober. You know what I mean? He was popping up on all these fucking shows talking about, you know, solar power, and because Tesla does solar power too.
Right.
So he's talking about, like, solar is the future and all this other shit, green energy, blah, blah, blah. And like, what crowd do you think is going to be attracted to that?
Right.
The first off and foremost, it's going to be attracting the people, the party, the political party that has classically been pro-environment, which is the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There, certain Republicans have been very pro-environment too, but that's a whole other thing, and that's a different story. But classically, Democrats are pro-environment, you know, and so you're pulling those guys, and then the people who give a shit about the earth, you know, which is generally liberals. Let's face it. Liberals
right.
are usually the ones that are telling you not to fucking litter and shit like that. So guess what? That's your base. That's your base for everything.
Yeah.
If you attract that kind of base to one of your products, you're going to have them attracted to your other products too. That's the way business works.
Right.
You're going to get eyes on everything. How is a dumb, poor-ass motherfucker like me out here giving fucking business advice to Elon Musk,
to the richest
bro.
Person in the world? Because it's fucking common sense, dude, which is, I don't understand how he lacks this. Like, he's, for all of his faults, like, he
how
generally
has he gotten this far?
Art in certain areas, but then there's stuff like this where you just question that, and you're like, maybe he is fucking stupid.
Dude, I just listened to... So one of the things Elon has to stop doing is doing live spaces on Twitter. Do you know what that is?
I do. I haven't done any myself, but yes.
I haven't done any either, but as long as you know what it is. It's where you can go live on Twitter and have a bunch of people in there. You can also control who talks if it's your space. And I just listened to another live session that Elon Musk did, where I guess they didn't vet out their participators too well, because he just got totally ass-reamed by somebody live. And his response was, well, you're a jackass. That's what his response was. So what he was doing is he was saying things, which is what Elon does. He finds fancy-sounding words and concepts and uses them without exactly knowing what they mean. He's done it before. I just watched him do it again. So he's talking about Twitter has a stack problem, that the stack is ridiculous, whatever. I don't know what the fuck a stack is. Apparently neither does he, because some guy, one of the guys in the chat room who had the mic said, what do you mean the stack is? Okay, what's wrong with the stack? And Elon just, you know, kind of didn't expect to be called on that at all, and stuttered and stammered and tried to change the subject. And he was like, no, but like, what is the stack? Like, what stack are you talking about? Like, what's the stack? And the dude, Elon couldn't answer the fucking question, bro. He didn't know what the fuck he just said, dude.
Yeah.
That's some Mike Garvey level self-unawareness right there is what that is. No, I'm just kidding. That kid, dude, like, he doesn't know what he's doing, bro. He doesn't know what he's doing. And now Have you seen the views thing that they have now where you can see how many people viewed your post?
I saw your tweet about this yesterday, and I saw a couple other tweets about this yesterday, and I'm looking at my own Twitter, and I had no idea what the hell you guys were talking about because it's not on my phone. Like, even as we speak right now, I still do not see it on my phone. However, I do have it on desktop. But for whatever reason, I still don't have it on my mobile, on
okay.
my app.
Hold on one second. Right, let me go to my Twitter. So down where the comments and the retweet button and the love button and the share button are, you don't have a little number next to those?
No, that's what I'm saying. I have it on desktop. I do not have it on mobile.
So you can't see the views metric on your have you updated the have you tried updating the app, the Twitter app?
No, I have not.
Okay, well that would have been my first suggestion to you regardless.
Okay, so see, hold on. I'm going to stop you there. You're saying suggestion as if I want to see my views or as if I give a crap about my views. Which
well,
I think speaks to the larger issue is that he's putting these, like, I don't know what you call them, features, I guess, putting these features in place that people don't care about.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like for the last 10 years, all I've seen on Twitter is, like, we need an edit button, and he gets on here and he's like, all right, we're going to see how many views you have. And it's like, wait, but what about the edit button? What about this and that? And it's just
– no, you have to buy the edit button.
Well, that's not – I mean, I'm sure as hell not buying the edit button, but you know what I mean.
No, but that's the thing. Like Twitter Blue is – you can edit your tweets with Twitter Blue, but you have to pay for
that's
it.
That's great.
which is why it's not happening. Not doing that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I ain't doing that shit. I'm never going to pay for Twitter, ever.
No.
At all.
Same here.
It's a great place to grow your brand and shit like that. Like, it really – it used to be a great place to get attention from lots of different kinds of people, especially if you're, like, a social media person, quote-unquote influencer. You know, your bread and butter is like Twitter and Instagram and possibly OnlyFans. speaking of which, I'm starting an OnlyFans.
Are you now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be nothing but pictures of my butthole. Just butthole pics.
How's that different than your Twitter or your Facebook?
It's not, but I'm going to delete those and make people pay for it.
Okay, I got you. All right, I'm following.
Just pictures. Occasionally you might get a hint of like a taint or maybe even a little hint of the back of the balls, so to speak, depending on whether it's cold and they're scrunched up or hanging, smack on my knees and shit. So you'll see.
I like it.
Imagine if there was a market for that, like a 45-year-old's distended, crusty old butthole.
I mean,
half prolapsed.
Would you be surprised if there was a market for that? Because I mean,
I probably wouldn't. There's a market for everything out there. That's what, I was talking to one of my
marketplace out there.
Right. I was talking to one of my female friends who has she's got nice feet. She's got like decent feet. So So I told her that she's struggling for money. I was like, dude, I'm telling you, sell pictures of your feet. I know so many women that have done that.
100%. Yep.
Huh? Yeah. I cannot believe how much money some of these people have made.
Dude, I remember talking to a girl like years ago. I mean, it has to be 10 years ago because it was before, you know, my wife and whatnot. And she told me that she was making like $5,000 a month selling feed pics. And I'm like, that's more than I make at my fucking job.
Yep. a really good friend of mine, who's got beautiful feet. She was selling her pictures online up until recently. And she stops because they wanted her to like start like rubbing dildos with her feet and like,
right.
I think they wanted her to do other weird shit with it, but she was like, you know what? That's too far for me. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Cause then it gets all porny, you know? I mean, let's face it though. Like if you're selling pictures of your feet, like nobody's going to frame it and put it on their fucking mantle.
Yeah. That's probably.
That's
true.
Not what it's for. That's not what it's for. What were you going to say?
It's just crazy. Like, but my point is, even if it was porny, I mean, listen, it's very easy for me to say as a 45-year-old guy that like, oh, if I was a 25-year-old girl, I'd send pictures of my feet. But I feel like I would. I mean, maybe that makes me.
No, I would. 100%. I do. If there was a market for my shits now, I'd do it. That doesn't bother me. You want to crank off to my feet, bro?
Okay.
Have them.
Yeah. Right.
Have them. I don't give a shit. You don't see my face. You know what I mean? I don't have to identify myself in any fucking way. Bro, in a heart, I would spend 12 hours just taking pictures of my feet. And then I would bundle them in packages. You know what I mean? Like it. That's a no-brainer to me. But you know, people aren't comfortable with that. That's fine. But I told her, I was like, you could make money doing that. You really could. There's more than enough people out there that are willing to do that. Now, if you also spread your asshole in the process, take pictures of your feet and your spread asshole, I know several people in my life that would like to have that happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That Twitter views metric, that makes such little sense to me because I don't want to know how many people ignored my post. I don't want that knowledge.
Right. Yeah, we don't need to know that. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's literally forcing that on me.
You know what it is? Like, isn't it? I mean, I think the play here, at least in his mind, is he knows the algorithm is featuring the people who have signed up and are paying the $8 and this and that. So I think it's a lot of like – I think it's like a FOMO marketing tactic where it's going to be like, oh, look, your post only got 308 views. But if you were on – if you were verified or if you were on Twitter Blue, you'd have 40,000 views. Like I think that's what it is.
You might be right. It may just be a tactic to drive up Twitter Blue sales. But it just
that's what I think
like,
the intention is. I don't know if that's going to work out that way, but I think that's the intention.
You might be right. I mean, I couldn't say for sure because I don't have the kind of brain that works like his does. I don't have a I don't know. There are checks and balances in my head that don't let me say really, really arrogant shit like him. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do, but I don't feel like he deserves any praise from me in any way at all, I guess now.
No.
I don't think I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Because I think I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt of being, like, ready to step down type of thing. I don't know if I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt of him trying something to stem the tide of loss that is happening within his – he said Twitter is close to bankruptcy. He said that.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
He said that shit. So, like, he's live tweeting the failure of that company.
Yeah.
I know we talked about him being on the Chappelle, coming up on stage with the Chappelle thing last time, right?
Yep. He did.
Yeah. I think we can put him safely to rest. Give me 1 second. Yeah, so, okay, so the House passed some spending bill. The U.S. hits more than 100 million COVID cases.
Jesus, it's crazy.
There's a couple other things, but I guess I forgot them. Did you watch Charles in Charge back in the day?
That is a random ass segue, my friend. Yes, I did.
Well, no, because I saw it could just be an ad. I didn't get past the title, but I saw that Nicole Eggert had some allegations against Scott Baio. I don't even know if that's true.
I don't know if that's true.
It looks like
I do know that. I do know that Scott Baio is a huge maggot.
He's a fucking douche. It's so sad too, because like he's no longer in charge of my heart, and that makes me sad.
But is he still in charge of your days and your nights?
I mean, dude, Charles in Charge was like a fantastic sitcom.
He's probably still in charge of your nights. Be honest.
No. I had to cut him out of my life. No days, no nights, no heart. Mm. Nope. No, poor Charles. I love that fucking sick. Even to this day, even back then, it was like just a hilariously corny mess of shit.
See, I never see it on anymore, though, because it's funny that you mentioned that, because I can't remember the last time I thought about that show, because I feel like I see a bunch of, you know, old, dumbass sitcoms on various channels at different points, but I feel like I've never, at least not in the last couple of years that I can cognitively recall, like, I don't remember seeing it anywhere anymore. I feel like when we get off the call, I have to, like, look it up on my TV and see where I can find it. Because I can't remember actually seeing it recently.
I don't know what's happened to it. I don't know if there's some kind of ownership issue, like streaming rights or whatever.
You know what? I was just going to say it's probably on like one of those like Paramount Plus streaming services or some bullshit where it's like –
I'll look right now. Hold on.
It's got to be on some kind of streaming service.
Charles – Watch Charles in Charge. It looks like the only way you can do it is by buying the seasons off of Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Although TVGuide.com seems to have... No, they don't have any episodes. That's just the... See all where to watch. Hold on. Yeah, you got to buy them on iTunes or Amazon. iTunes has them for 99 cents an episode, so that would be the way to go.
Hmm. I'm surprised I haven't caught on to like a different like streaming service yet. Because I feel like some of those streaming services have the most random shit. Like, I don't know, like when you talk about the ownership, like I have no idea what conglomerates own which stations and shows anymore.
I don't either.
It's so fucking jumbled.
No.
Yeah.
No. I don't either. I mean, the whole Friends ordeal, like that show has been passed, but the properties to that show, the rights to that show has been passed around to like three or four different streaming services over the last 15 years.
Yeah, I know. And I remember when like Friends, it's like all of a sudden Friends is on HBO Max and I'm like, wait, but Friends is an NBC show and NBC has Peacock. So how is Friends not on Peacock, but it's on HBO Max. Yeah, it's so fucking
weird. I don't know. It was on Hulu briefly. I know it was on Netflix for a while. And now it's on HBO Max, I think.
Yeah.
Which is also going to be changing, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't have the deets on that, but there something HBO Max is changing.
I mean, if they're going to bring back Skinemax, then I'm all for it, but, you know.
Oh, so Warner Brothers and Discovery merged. So HBO Max and Discovery Plus are getting merged. Okay. Yeah, HBO and Discovery Plus are merging. Yeah, that's all. I don't know, but like, there's so many shows from back then that I haven't seen anywhere either. Like Punky Brewster, for example. You remember that shit?
Yes. I feel like I did see somewhere. Oh fuck, I don't know where I saw. Yeah. I think I saw that Peacock at some point. Don't quote me on that.
Do you remember Small Wonder?
Yes, I remember Small Wonder.
It was such a great concept for a show, and so ridiculous the way they executed it.
So basically,
you know, for anyone listening, Small Wonder was an 80s sitcom about an inventor guy with a family who, like, created a little girl robot that's, like, super strong and super robotic, and you know, she's got a brother. Oh, man. One of the things that I remember about that show was that they did, like, a very special episode where, like, one of them was tempted with drugs. And it was just, like, the craziest, corniest fucking thing I've ever seen. I love that. They had a very special episode of what was that, the one with Gary Coleman?
I was going to say that you know the one when he got where the guy was basically trying to molest him?
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Very special episode of Different Strokes, right?
Very
Different
special
Strokes.
Episodes in the day. Yeah, we had very
right.
We had lots of special, very special episodes in the 80s.
Yeah,
oh,
there
man.
Was one on there was one on Webster too, where like his home was invaded. And he had to, like, hide in his all of his little tricky places. I cannot believe that there was a show in the 80s with people adopting a midget kid or little – I don't even know what his classification is.
Hold on. There wasn't a show with white people adopting a – small black kid. There were two, because you just mentioned both of them. There was Webster and Different Strokes.
There were a couple of them. That's right. No,
like,
the one I'm referring to, this kid had all sorts of little weird escape holes and shit, and he would, like, go through the grandfather clock and appear in the basement and all this crazy shit. That's the one I'm talking about.
See, I'm just trying to picture the network executives who, like, watch Different Strokes and, like, watch it blow up, and they're like, man, you know, rich white dude adopts these little black kids. All right. What if we did that with just one black kid?
Why hire two? We only need one.
Yeah, like, we love the concept, but you know what? There's just too many black people in that show. We like the concept. Too many black. What if it's only one black kid this time?
Well, also Webster didn't have any siblings either, so that was less casting as well. They really went minimal on the casting.
Yeah, less kids. Yeah, just one kid. We
less
this
kids.
Time. Not.
Man, I don't even know if sitcoms these days have the very special episodes. I do remember Archie Bunker, which was the name of the show was like All in the Family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember the very special episode of Archie Bunker where his wife gets like kidnapped and like almost raped and shit.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
That was a wild one. That was crazy. And something similar happened to the Jeffersons too. I'm pretty sure they definitely got yes, it did. The same thing happened to the Jeffersons. Like they had a home break in and I think they were both tied up and then the guy took his wife into another room to try to like rape her and shit. What was wrong with people back then, man? Why is everybody getting raped on TV out there? God damn. And
that's
the
a good question.
It was actually a spinoff of All in the Family.
So maybe that's they figured it worked the first time, so let's redo it.
Yeah, I think the writer, one of the writers from Archie Bunker, went to the Jeffersons and he was like, you know what? You know what we can rehash? The rape episode.
Remember when we raped Edith?
Let's do the same thing with Wheezy.
We can rape Wheezy too. Wheezy!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You getting raped in there, Wheezy? What the fuck, man? I can't believe, and like I
and
said,
then,
like the Jefferson is a spinoff.
And then as you mentioned, then we go back to different strokes where it's like, man, there's no women in this show to rape. Let's have a kid toucher.
Right. But they didn't, like, they could have had the, well, actually, they could have probably told the real story of the girl, because I'm pretty sure she was molested, like, a lot when she was young.
Yeah.
Dana.
Yeah.
What was her name? Dana.
Plato.
Plato? Dana Plato, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was
she
fucking gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched her, like, she did, like, a couple of, like, softcore porn movies.
Yeah.
When she was older, yeah. I definitely dropped a few million potential children to her softcore movies. Definitely. I think she even did a lesbian scene, which is probably why I watched it. Yeah. Yep. But she was fucked up, man. She had, from what I understood, she was like brutally molested when she was younger.
Jesus.
Another story of like young, attractive Hollywood kids that got used and abused.
Right.
And is not alive because of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Poor Corey Feldman. He lived through it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that, unfortunately. Crazy.
Yeah.
Especially back then. It was
right.
A fucking wild west. Or like fucking
yeah, it seems like every kid star who grew up in the 80s was like passed around to a bunch of different people that just like fucked them.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude. That's so wrong, too. Seriously, like every one of those kid actors, like Corey Feldman's age, I feel so terrible for Corey Feldman, too, because he's kind of weird. So people don't really take him seriously a lot of times. And the worst
right.
thing I ever – did you see that fucking interview he did with Barbara Walters?
I probably did. I'm drawing a blank at the moment, but I'm sure I've seen
– So he's being interviewed by her, and he starts talking about how, you know, the people in Hollywood did that stuff to him and she starts telling him to be careful. And he's like, what do you mean be careful? She's like, you know, you could ruin some people's careers.
Oh, wow.
Like, she's telling this to this kid. And, you know,
yeah.
Meanwhile, the dude's like, you know, I think he's in his 40s now, like we are at least. He could be a little bit older than that. And he's like
right.
still trying to do music, and his music kind of sucks. You know, I
mm-hmm.
feel like if he just like ran it through like auto-tune or something, they would be great. But like, I feel like he's still a lost guy, you know? I feel really bad for that dude.
Yep.
But he said, you know, he's trying to tell a story and say, yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it crazy that he's telling a story, like, basically 20 or 30 years after the fact, and the instant reaction is, oh, be careful what you say about people. You might ruin their careers. He's like, bitch, they ruined my life. Like, I don't give a fuck about their careers at this point.
Barbara Walters is kind of an idiot, though. It's not the first time that she had a really bad take on something, but she was pretty heavily criticized for saying that to him. Because
yeah.
it was a really asshole thing to say to a victim of abuse in general.
Right.
And especially one who's, like, sitting in front of you. He didn't mention any names, you know? He didn't say anything like that. And she was just like, oh, you be careful. You could. What about the people who hurt him? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
What about him? You're not talking to – you're not interviewing those motherfuckers. You're interviewing him.
Right. And part of the reason you're interviewing him is because he went through those things.
Right. I mean, you knew what he was going to talk about before he came up. Be careful. That's like – and it annoys me doubly when women do that because I feel like having been women in the industry and having have – you know for a fact Barbara Walters has had bad shit happen to her behind the scenes. I mean, it's the way it works.
Right.
You know, it happens. Women are not treated well in establishments, and it's usually because the establishments have classically been run by men who are sexist, and things happen.
Yeah.
You know? There's no way in hell Barbara Walters was never sexually harassed or something like that. So for you to sit there as a woman in that industry that you know grinds people, it grinds people the fuck up, especially women, but obviously boys too, as in Corey Feldman's case. And for you to sit there and say to him, stop talking, don't tell your story, you're going to hurt people, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
That's like, that's, to me, that kind of shit is unforgivable. Like, you got to let these people, you know what I mean? Like, all the shit that dude had to go through, people probably invaded his little hiney, bro. My man's got his hiney invaded when he was, like, a young-ass kid. Somebody probably invaded his face, too. Like, this shit is not, that's not cool.
Not at all.
That shit, no, it's not, though. It's not, you know, and my man's is still around to tell the story. That's, you know, like, you gotta be good to people.
Yes, sir.
All right. I guess we could call that a show.
That was a good show.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Not too bad. I should have more stuff. There were other things I wanted to talk about, but I forgot to write them down, and then the article disappeared. So, I hate when that happens.
Well,
we'll just pick
it up. We can come up with some stuff for next week.
Yeah. I'll hit you up. Let's see, what is it, 23rd? Well, I'll probably hit you up on Christmas just to say Merry Christmas. But let's see. I'll hit you up maybe like Tuesday or so. See if there's anything you want to talk about. We'll just plan out the basic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like all a plan.
Right, lover. Smell you later.
All right, homie. All right.